Vasuranandana Vrajadanana. Ravanakari Yamuna Tira Swami Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitaya Gaur Premanande Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Last time I gave class, I was mentioning how we have so many opportunities in the morning program to increase our meditation, enter more deeply into what we're doing. And this song, Jaya Radha Madhava, is a nice example of that. First of all, I was thinking how there's always discussions about, you know, Leela and Tattva and how much should we get into Krishna Leela and so on. Well, here's an example. Prabhupada, of course, he set the precedent. He started this himself, singing Jaya Radha Madhava before every class. So one time he sang it, and after he said, this is a picture of Vrindavan, this song, Jaya Radha Madhava. So, of course, Jaya Radha Madhava begins with the glorification of Radha Madhava, or Radha Shyam Sundar. Today they're looking so effulgent with their effulgent effulgences. They're very bright, very beautiful. Kunja Bihari. Krishna is called so many kinds of Bihari. And Bihari means the enjoyer. So Kunja Bihari means he enjoys in the kunjas. The kunja, the groves. In the sixth verse of the Guru Vashtakam, Nikunjayuno Ratikeli Siddhai Yayali Biyuktira Pikshaniya. Those first words, Nikunja Yuna, they're translated in our songbook as of Radha and Krishna. But literally what it means is the two youths who are enjoying in the kunja, Nikunja Yuna. So the spiritual master is assisting them in their pastime. So, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, Gopi Jana Vallabha. The Gopi Jana means the gopis. Krishna is very dear to the gopis. Giri Varadhari, a Leela that we're reading about right now. Giri Vara. Sometimes I hear devotees say Giri Vana, but it's not Giri Vana, it's Giri Vara. Vara, V-A-R-A, which means the best. The best Giri. Dhari, one who is lifting the best hill. Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Anandana, the darling of Yashoda. Braja Jana Ranjana. Braja Jana means the Braja, Brajavasis. Krishna is Ranjana, giving pleasure to them. Just to see Krishna is pleasure enough for the Braja, Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira means the bank of the Yamuna. And Vana means forests. So what is going on there? Chari. Chari means he's moving or playing, enjoying again there. So when we chant this song, we can try to meditate on this Krishna's Leela, what's going on in Vrindavan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 24, Worshipping Govardhan Hill. Today we're reading seven verses, text 24 through 30. Text 24, word meanings, na, not, na, for us, pura, the cities, janapada, developed inhabited area. Na, not. Grama, villages. Na, not. Griha, living in permanent homes. Vayam, we. Vana okasaha, dwelling in the forests. Tata, my dear father. Nityam, always. Vana, in the forest. Shaila, and on the hills. Nivasinaha. Nana puro janapada, na grama na griha vayam, vanaukasas tattata nityam, vanashaila nivasina. Nana puro janapada, na grama na griha vayam, vanauka sastata nityam, vanashaila nivasina, nana puro janapada, na grama na griha vayam, vanauka sastata nityam, vanashaila nivasina. Nanapuro janapada, na grama na griha vayam, vanakasya stata nityam, vanashaila nivasina. Nanapuro janapada, na grama na griha vayam, vanakasastata nityam, vanashaila nivasina. Ladies. Nana puro janapada, vanashaila nivasina. Translation: My dear father, our home is not in the cities or towns or villages. Being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. Purport: Lord Krishna here points out that the residents of Vrindavan should recognize their relationship with Govardhan Hill and with the forests of Vrindavan, and not worry about a distant demigod like Indra. Having concluded his arguments, Lord Krishna makes a radical proposal in the following verse. Tasmagavam brahmananam mandishcharabhyatamukha ya indra yaga sambharas parayam sadhyatamukha. Therefore, may a sacrifice for the pleasure of the cows, the brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill begin. With all the paraphernalia collected for worshipping Indra, let this sacrifice be performed instead. Purport. Lord Krishna is famous as Go Brahmana Hita, the well-wishing friend of the cows and the brahmanas. Lord Krishna specifically included the local brahmanas in his proposal because he is always devoted to those who are devoted to the godly Vedic culture. Pachantam vividha paka supanta payasadaya samyavapupasaktuya sarvadohasagriyatam. Let many different kinds of food be cooked, from sweet rice to vegetable soups. Many kinds of fancy cakes, both baked and fried, should be prepared, and all the available milk products should be taken for this sacrifice. Purport. The word supa indicates bean broth and also liquid vegetables. Thus, to celebrate the Govardhan Puja, Lord Krishna called for hot preparations such as soup, cold preparations like sweet rice, and all types of milk products. Uyantam agnaya samya brahmane brahmavadivi anam bahu gunam tebhyo deyam bodhenu dakshina. The brahmanas who are learned in the Vedic mantras must properly invoke the sacrificial fires. Then you should feed the priests with nicely prepared food and reward them with cows and other gifts. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Lord Sri Krishna instructed his father and other residents of Vrindavan in the technical details of this Vedic sacrifice to assure the quality of the sacrifice and also to inspire Nanda and the others with faith in the concept of such a sacrifice. Thus, the Lord mentioned that there must be orthodox brahmanas, regular sacrificial fires, and proper distribution of charity. And things were to be done in the order given by the Lord. Anyebhyascha svachandala potitebhyo yatarhata yavasam cha gavam dakta giraye diyatam bali. After giving the appropriate food to everyone else, including such fallen souls as dogs and dog eaters, you should give grass to the cows and then present your respectful offerings to Govardhan Hill. Swalankrita bhuktavanta swanulita suvasasa pradakshinam chakuruta gopi pranala parvatan. After everyone has eaten to his satisfaction, you should all dress and decorate yourselves handsomely, smear your bodies with sandalwood paste, and then circumambulate the cows, the brahmanas, the sacrificial fires, and Govardhan Hill. Purport. Lord Krishna wanted all the human beings and even the animals to eat nice Bhagavat prasad, sanctified foods offered to the Lord, to enthuse his relatives with a festive mood. He requested them to dress beautifully with fine clothes and ornaments and to refresh their bodies with luxurious sandalwood paste. The essential activity, however, was the circumambulation of the holy brahmanas, cows, sacrificial fires, and especially Govardhan Hill. Etan mama matam tata kriyatam radirochate ayam gra brahmana dhrinam mayam cha dayito maka. This is my idea, O Father, and you may carry it out if it appeals to you. Such a sacrifice will be very dear to the cows, the brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill, and also to me. Purport. Whatever is pleasing to the brahmanas, the cows, and the Supreme Lord himself is auspicious and beneficial for the entire world. Spiritually blind modern people do not understand this and instead adopt a scientific approach to life that is rapidly destroying the entire earth. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. The first point Krishna makes here is that they live in the forests. It sounds curious when you hear this, that we don't even have permanent residence. So what does he mean by this? To me it means that's where we spend our time. Of course, Krishna has a house, but he spends his whole day out in the forest, in the woods, in the pasturing grounds. So that's, you might say, where he lives. He lives in the forest because he's out there with the cows. Krishna and the other cowherd men, they're out there in the woods all day long herding the cows. So that's where they live. Just like people today, they have these big, beautiful, multi-million dollar houses, but they don't live there. They live in the office, or they live in a factory or someplace. That's where they spend all their time. It's amazing, actually, how much some people work, especially even highly paid professions, like big corporate, you know, lawyers and big corporations. They spend like 70, 80 hours a week at the office. And doctors, too, they pull these really long shifts and they sleep at the hospital, and of course they're making all kinds of money, but they're not at home. Who's at home? Nobody's at home. The kids are at school, the wife's out spending the money, and in the house is just the maid and the dog. That's who's there. No one's enjoying the house. So they're living in the, not at the home. So here Krishna's saying, we don't really live at home. We live out in the forest. But actually, Krishna has a home. In fact, I have a diagram of it right here. I remembered this. I think it's in the back of one of the guidebooks of Vrindavan, maybe Chintamani Dham by Padmalochan Prabhu. But I just happened to, I downloaded this from the internet. So it shows an outline of Nanda Bhavan, Nanda Maharaj's house. And it has here, of course, they have it laid out on a grid. I don't know if it's actually designed exactly like this. But it's 7 by 7 rooms, so there's 49 rooms in this house. So Krishna definitely has a permanent residence to live in. He's exaggerating a little when he says he lives in the woods. So it's quite interesting because actually one of these rooms, it's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, the Chandrashala. Chandrashala is a room on the roof where the residents of the house, they go at night to look at the moon, Chandrashala. That in itself is interesting. You have a room just to look at the moon. Somewhere I heard recently, I came across this a couple of times. It says that there's always a full moon in Vrindavan. So maybe that's why they always want to look at the moon, because it's always full. At first I was thinking, well, maybe it's for astrological reasons. They want to look at the phases of the moon or something, but apparently there aren't any. Just the full moon. Of course, Nanda Maharaj, he goes up there for a different reason. He's on the lookout for Krishna. He wants to see as soon as he can get one little speck coming over the horizon, or the dust raised by the hoofs of the cows and the cowherd boys returning from the forest. That's why he's up there in the Chandrashala. So that's one of the rooms. So then, of course, Krishna has his suite of rooms. He has his own dining room, he has his own bedroom, and he has his own toilet and dressing room. Similarly, Balaram, and of course, Nanda and Yashoda. There's a temple of Nrisimhadev. Radharani has her own kitchen in Nanda Maharaj's house. And different maid servants. Some gopis are there. They have rooms. Of course, there are gopi servants within the house. And maid servants, storage rooms. There's a milk storage room, a curd storage room, and a ghee storage room. So it's quite an elaborate house that Krishna lives in. So when he returns from the forest, he has a very opulent house which to go to. So the second verse today mentions this verse in the purport. Lord Krishna is famous as Go Brahmana Hita. This, of course, is a line from a famous verse that we chant. Prabhupada gave it to us as the third prayer when we offer prasadam or boga to the deities. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitayata Jigat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So this verse is from the Vishnu Purana, and it mentions Krishna, the Absolute Truth, is named Krishna and Govinda, and he's worshipped or offered obeisances. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. There are three things about Krishna that are mentioned in this verse. First, he is Brahmanya Devaya. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. So this is generally translated as he who is worshipable by the Brahmanas, or worshipable by, Prabhupada also says, by first-class saintly persons. And the verse comes up, or this line specifically, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, comes up in a couple of other prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One is in that chapter in the fifth canto called the Residents of Jambudweep Offer Prayers. So specifically in Kimpurusha Varsha. Kimpurusha, that's where Hanuman stays. This word actually, Kimpurusha. Hanuman is a Kimpurusha. Kimpurusha, the word literally means, is he a person or is he a human? Kim means what, and Purusha means human. Because you can't quite tell. They sort of look like humans, but they don't. They're not exactly like humans. They're a little too hairy or monkey-looking. So Kimpurusha. So Hanuman, so on Kimpurusha Varsha, the residents there, led by Hanuman, they worship Lord Ram Chandra. And this is one of the prayers. This is part of one of the mantras that they recite. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. And also in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, in Lord Ram's Leela, the Brahmanas are offering prayers to Lord Ram. And they offer this. This is part of one of their mantras also. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. And there, in the word for word, Srila Prabhupada translates it as he for whom the Brahmanas are the worshipable deity. So, generally, it's translated the other way. He's the worshipable deity of the Brahmanas. But there, Prabhupada translates it as he for whom the Brahmanas are the worshipable deity. So here we see Krishna, not only in this verse, but in the following verses also, special attention is given to the Brahmanas. Now, of course, the residents of Vrindavan, generally, most of them are Vaishyas. There are some Brahmanas. For example, the Batu Dvija Raj. Batu means Madhu Mangal. He's called Batu. So Dvija Raj, king of the Dvijas. So in Krishna's Leela, we have Madhu Mangal, the Brahmin boy who likes to eat sweets and always making jokes. So there are some Brahmins also. So Krishna seems to be speaking, at least one of the last verses we read today, circumambulate the Brahmanas. So he's talking to the Vaishyas, Vaishya community, and others. Special honor should be given to the Brahmanas. Now, of course, whenever we speak of Brahmanas, we're talking about qualified Brahmanas. This is an extremely important point that Srila Prabhupada would emphasize over and over again. How one is not a Brahmin by birth. One is a Brahmin by qualification. By birth, janmana jayate shudra. He would quote this verse, which doesn't, we don't know where it's from. In all our verse books, it says unknown source. Janmana, but Prabhupada quoted a lot. Janmana jayate shudra. We're all born as shudras. Kalo shudra sambhava, especially in Kali Yuga. And actually at any time, because until you have samskarad bhavedvija, until you have samskar, then you become a brahmana, twice born. The first birth, Then you're a Shudra. Second birth you have to have in order to become actual Brahmana. Sangskara bhaved dvija. Dvija. Brahmins are especially called dvija. Vedapata bhaved vipro. Then if you study the Vedas, become expert in the Vedas, then you become vipra. Then you become Brahmana. Finally, brahmajanatiti Brahmana. When you know Brahman. So as Prabhupada would point out, who knows Brahman more than the Vaishnavas? Because they know Krishna, Parabrahman. They actually know Krishna. Veti tattvataha. So they're the real Brahmins. So in the, well, there's one purport, a very memorable section of the Bhagavatam where Krishna is glorifying the Brahmanas. When the four Kumaras go to Vaikuntha, and they meet up with Jaya and Vijaya, and they're cursed by Jaya and Vijaya. So there's this whole scene going on at the gates of Vaikuntha. So Lord Vishnu himself arrives. And the Kumaras have cursed Jaya and Vijaya to come to the material world. So Krishna says, I uphold your curse. And then he starts glorifying the Brahmanas. He says, the Brahmanas are those who are his devotees also. He says, if my arm is offensive to the Brahmanas, then I'll lop off my own arm. I'll cut off my own arm if it's offensive to the Brahmanas. So in a purport in that section, Prabhupada says, when Krishna is speaking these verses glorifying the Brahmanas, he means Vaishnav Brahmanas. He says, Brahman means Vaishnav, and Vaishnav means Brahman. So one is not actually a Brahman unless one is a Vaishnava. And if one is a Vaishnav, one is automatically a Brahman. And a Brahman and a Vaishnav is also supposed to have all the qualities of the Brahmana. We read about the qualities of Brahmanas. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, Samoda Mastapa Shocham Shanti Rajavam Evacha, and so on. These qualities, they're supposed to be exhibited by the Vaishnavas. The quality of goodness, the mode of goodness, especially all the qualities in the mode of goodness, Vaishnavas have these qualities. So Vaishnavas are automatically Brahmanas. So Krishna, he's worshipable by the Brahmanas, and he also worships the Brahmanas. So the second verse and the second line of this, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitayacha, Go Brahmana Hitayacha. So Hita means he's favorable to, or he does good things for, he benefits the Go and Brahmana, the cows and the Brahmins. So we hear a lot about how important why Krishna worships the cows, venerates the cows, protects the cows, because of they contribute so much to human society. Even seeing them, I think like that when I'm walking here in the temple property, just to see the cows, it's so pleasing. Just to see the cows grazing so peacefully. But they provide so much. Their milk products, here it said, of the things to offer, so many milk products. Even today, of course, the cow is severely mistreated, exploited. We take her products, and her products are so valuable. In a grocery store, there's a whole department just for the cow products, milk products. Is there any other part of the grocery store? Now we have dairy. Is there any other part that's dedicated to one type of living entity? Of course, you have the meat department, where they slaughter them all, but those are mixed. But in the dairy, you have only the cow, and some token, maybe sheep's or cow's milk is there, and they throw some eggs in for some reason, and they stick eggs in the dairy. I don't know where the cow's giving eggs, but anyway, they have, but mainly it's so many products there, whole big department of the store, and it's all coming from the cow. And how do we reciprocate? We slaughter her. We slaughter the cow, and we slaughter the bull. But Krishna, go Brahmana Hitayatra. He blesses the cows and the brahmanas, especially favorable to them. Am jagadhitaya. So first go brahmana hita. So they're first. First the cows and the brahmins, then jagat, then the rest of the world. We're not left out. Everyone else. Krishna's beneficial. He's doing beneficial things. There's a very wonderful verse by Uddhava in the 11th canto. Comes in the context of the Uddhava Gita. This Uddhava Gita, Krishna instructing Uddhava, is very long. Longer than the Bhagavad Gita, actually. Very long. And in this, anyway, so Uddhava is glorifying Krishna. Naivo payantya pachitim kavayastavesha brahmayusha pikutam riddha muda smaranta yontar bahir anubitam ashubam vidunvan acharya chatya vapuchan sagatim yanakti. He says, even if one has a lifetime as long as Lord Brahma, and one is a kavi, learned person, naivo payantya pachitim, one can't sufficiently glorify Krishna. And especially because he's blessing us by coming as the super soul, acharya chaitya vapusha, and as the chaitya guru. As the Chaitya Guru and as the Acharya. So as the Guru, in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Krishna is Guru Rupa Hana. One form of Krishna is the Guru. So Krishna is so merciful to us that he comes as the Guru and he follows us all over this material world, wherever we go, to try to awaken us to Krishna consciousness. So he's charitably disposed to the cows and brahmanas. Specifically, it's pointed out. This in some ways is a cultural, you might say. We get cultural instructions in the Bhagavatam. So culturally, especially, we're supposed to protect the cows, honor the cows, and honor the brahmanas. Even if we're all Vaishnavas, just like the Brijbasis, of course they're Vaishnavas, but still they honor the Brahmin Vaishnavas because they have a special position in society. They're necessary for executing the yajnas, just like we're hearing about here. Krishna wants to make sure that his father doesn't think this is just some whimsical thing he's talking about. He's talking about a real yajna. I want real Brahmin priests here to chant mantras, and I want it to be done in this way, this particular way, and in this order. This is a serious proposal that I'm making here. So the Brahmins are necessary, qualified Brahmanas. And why are they qualified? Because that's their duty. That's what they do. The cowherd boys and the Brahmin, the Vaishyas, they're out herding the cows all day. They don't have time to sit and study the Vedas. So the Brahmins, that's their job. And Bhagavad Gita says, do your job. Whatever position you're in, you do your job. If your job is to take care of the cows, you don't stay home and study the Vedas. You take care of the cows. If your job is to study the Vedas, you study the Vedas. So the Brahmanas, they have that very important position. By studying the Vedas, of course, they get enlightenment. They have transcendental knowledge. And all of the others, they go to the Brahmanas. What did you learn from the Vedas? You're studying the Vedas all day. What did you learn? Inspire us with what you've learned. So that's the most important thing. The Brahmins, that's why they're so important. Even in a society, again, of Vaishnavas, because their duty is to study the Vedas, then they enlighten us and inspire us in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is especially favorable to them, and culturally, all of the others, they look up to the Brahmanas and honor them, and the cows for all they give. So Krishna is especially also, as a leader of society, by his example, he shows how they should be honored for their contribution. But then he's also, of course, favorable to everyone by giving Vedic knowledge through the Brahmanas and by giving us transcendental knowledge in so many ways, giving us his association, giving us his lila, giving us wealth of opportunity to favor us. We always have to have this conviction that Krishna is doing his best. Krishna is doing his best. I know myself, I sometimes have these doubts. I think, couldn't Krishna have done it some other way? It just doesn't seem like the best way to do things. But I have to realize my tiny brain is not going to understand. I have to just get rid of these doubts. There's a certain point where our intelligence has to stop trying to figure it out, speculating, thinking we can do better. We have to take it on as a basis, an item of faith, that Krishna is supremely intelligent and supremely merciful. So what he has set up is the perfect system for us. And we just have to get with the program. We have to follow the process that Krishna has given, and then his mercy will be available to us. And we read so many things, how this is auspicious and that's auspicious, and if we do this, we'll become Krishna conscious. And so we have to have faith in the power of those things, just as Prabhupada did. Even the holy name, we can doubt the efficacy of it. But Prabhupada had no doubts. When he came to the West, he knew. I had the Bhagavatam and the Maha Mantra. So, Krishna, your power is there to transform. So certainly this is Krishna's mercy upon all of us fallen souls in this age. So I'll stop here. Let me just read the first verse. Nana puro janapada nagrama nagriha vayam vanao kasas tata nityam vanashaila nivasinaha. My dear father, our home is not in the cities or towns or villages. Being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. This word tata, it's a word of affection. And it's used because it comes up here a couple of times. Nanda, Krishna uses it to his father, and his father uses it to the son. So it can go in either direction. Like my dear beloved one, something like that. So any questions, comments?
Prabhupada has told us to just try to understand Krishna. So doesn't that take some kind of figuring out?
Try to understand him means as he has revealed himself, as he's explaining himself, try to understand that. Asamshayam samagram ma yata gyasyasi tatshrinu. This verse, 7th chapter, 1st verse, Krishna says, what is it? Maya saktamanaparta yogam yunjan marashraya. Become attached to me, maya saktamana. Attach your mind to me, and you can become free from all doubts. Asamshayam, because sometimes people think it's not possible to not ever have, you know, to really have a clear, full 100% conviction, because we can never fully understand God. But Krishna says, asamshayam samagram mam. You can be samagram. You can have full understanding of me, he says. Yata, how? Yata gyas yasi tatshrinu. Without any doubts, how? By hearing what I'm telling you. He tells Arjuna, just listen, just hear. Prabhupada would often do like this too, he would say, just listen, just hear. Are you hearing? Even sometimes someone would try to go on to another question. Prabhupada would say, first understand this point. Have you understood this point? So that's how we understand, by hearing, not speculating something else, but hearing what is presented to us and then trying to understand what's told to us. And of course there's an aspect of Krishna which is achintya. It's beyond our ability to understand.
I was very fascinated to hear about how you say the Uddhava Gita is more detailed, longer than the Bhagavad Gita. And I was wondering, did Prabhupada, did he present that to us? Is it available for us to read? Should we read it?
Prabhupada didn't translate the Uddhava Gita. He, of course, he was working his way through the Bhagavatam.
How does it differ from Bhagavad Gita?
Well, there are many parallels, but there are certain things. Just like, there's some expansion. I think all of you are familiar with this, the different gurus. In fact, in BTG, not too long ago, we had these articles by Satyaraj about the gurus. What is it, 26 gurus or something like that? So that comes from that. That's part of that. So many points that, of course, the same points of philosophy are there, but other things are introduced too, that sometimes they're expanded. In fact, I was thinking, boy, we have so many books, I keep bringing this up, that it's hard to read them all. You know, you read something, you're not going to read it again maybe until 30 years from now. So I said, gee, I'm not very familiar with the Uddhava Gita. So last night I just read some of the translations to it, a few of the chapters. So there's a lot there. There's just a lot there. And a lot, basically it's the same points that Krishna's presenting in Bhagavad Gita, but he's expanding on them, emphasizing some of them more than others. And well, there's something really interesting I read now. Completely forgotten what it was that I wanted to mention. Anyway, so Krishna has... Actually, one of the things, he gives a whole list. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one who does this is very dear to me. This person is very dear to me. The end of the 12th chapter. This person is very... And he gives some qualifications and how the person should act and so on. So in this Uddhava Gita, there's a very long list of different things that one should do. Worshipping Krishna's deity and so many things. So in that sense, there's some expansion. Now one thing we understand in Bhagavad Gita is there's just sort of an intermission there. The battle's about to begin. So Krishna has to speak a little quickly there. Prabhupada used to say, in half an hour. Of course, I don't know. Krishna must have been speaking really quickly. Hard to recite Bhagavad Gita in half an hour. But so with Uddhava, of course, Krishna was about to leave the planet at that point. So he wanted to instruct Uddhava, but he took his time a little more. And he spoke this more elaboration on points he had already spoken to Arjuna. I'm sure Prabhupada, of course, there are places, I'm sure he quoted some of these verses. But he didn't have time to, he didn't reach there. Left it up to his disciples to write the commentaries, which they've done very ably by quoting extensively from the Acharya's commentaries. They're very nice. Satyaraj Prabhu has also written a book about the Uddhava Gita, which is a kind of summary of it. That's also available. So, anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.